And I'm speaking to Jay Leno right now, Andover native. And of course, for many years, the host of The Tonight Show on the NBC television network. Jay, welcome to 980 WCAP.
Well, thanks. Always good to come home.
Now, how often do you make it back to Massachusetts?
I get back a few times a year. I still have a house in Andover.
Oh, you still do? So, I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, what was your first job when you were growing up and living in Andover?
Well, I guess my first job was working at McDonald's at the one on Main Street there.
Really?
I worked there. And, if your friends would come in, what do you have, 12 hamburgers, 6 fries, a large Coke, that'll be a quarter.
Oh, I know that well. So when you got started with comedy, where did you first start playing? Was it in the Boston comedy clubs or?
Well, you know, it's funny you say it. There were no comedy clubs then.
Well, that's true.
Boston was a pretty serious time. It was mostly, you know, the Boston colleges used to have what they called a hootenanny night.
Oh, yeah.
Usually folk singers and guys would get up on a dark stage with a flashlight under their chin and go, "Stop, you war machine man." And then they'd run around the room. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And what year would that have been about?
Oh, that would have been 69, 70.
Okay, so right at the height of what we used to call the hippie movement in those days.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
So
I worked the Hillbilly Ranch. Do you remember that place?
I remember that well, sure.
I worked the Hillbilly Ranch. I worked the Playboy Club with the Bob Winter Trio.
It
was so funny. The Playboy Club was, they used to say in the intro, "And he's entertained for the crown heads of Europe. Please welcome." You know, I said, I never worked for any crown heads of Europe. They said, "No, but it sounds good. Just say it.
Now, you started doing fill-ins for Johnny Carson on The Tonight Show long before you hosted the show itself, you know, as the Tonight Show with Jay Leno.
Right.
And how did that job come about?
Well, I mean, the way it worked was, I had done, I did Johnny first time March 7th in 77.
Uh-huh.
And then you would... he made the talk show circuit, and Johnny took a lot of vacation days, so he would often have rotating guest hosts, and they would try out various people, and comedians were usually the best choice because, A, the show didn't have to write a monologue for them, you know, most of the comedians came, and that's kind of how I got it.
Ah, and that just kind of went from there. Now,
yeah, I mean, it's you're only as good as your last joke. Well, you did okay, you can do it again.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Now, I heard a rumor a long time ago that you never spent any of the money that you made on The Tonight Show. That all went in the bank, and that you lived on the comedy shows that you did around the country. Is that true, or is that just an old wives' tale?
No, that's true. I do have an old wife, and that's one of the tales, but yeah. Yeah, I mean, because when I was a kid, I worked at McDonald's and I worked at Wilmington Ford.
Really?
And I would bank the money from McDonald's and spend the money I made at Wilmington Ford. And then it got to be, then I went to work for Foreign Motors in Boston. And I was starting to be a comedian there. So I would bank the money from Foreign Motors in Boston and spend the money I made as a comedian. And then I was making more money as a comedian. So I decided to bank that one and spend the Foreign Motors money. And so, you know, I always, I'm dyslexic. I'm not real good with things, money and things. So I always had two jobs. I'd live on one and bank the other.
That's a great idea. I do the same thing, I guess, because I work in radio, which pays almost nothing, as most people know. but I also run an ice cream company, and that's where my money comes from.
Well, there you go.
So what did you do working for the Restucia family in Wilmington Ford? Were you a mechanic or?
No, I did odometer recalibrations. That was one of the areas. I did new car prep.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was what they call a lot boy. You put the license plates on.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I'll tell you, when I worked for Wilmington Ford, it was one of those acres of car places, you know.
Right.
And every morning you'd have to go out and put on like 50 or 60 sets of hubcaps for the used cars. And then every night about 5 o'clock, you'd take them all off again.
Oh, sure.
Kids would steal them, you know. So one night I'm carrying all the hubcaps in. I come around the corner and I bump into the used car man. He comes flying around the corner and just bumps into me and all the hubcaps fall down. And he goes, "That's it. You're fired." I go, "You bumped into me. I don't care. You're fired. You don't treat us stuff." And, you know, okay. So I was so ashamed. I didn't even tell my parents I got fired. I pretended to go to work every day, you know. And I remember I wrote a letter to Henry Ford saying, you know, my dad's got a Galaxy. My mom's got a Falcon. I'm saving up for a Mustang. We've been a Ford family. I got fired unfairly. But I sent it to Henry Ford and then all the other names I could find under his.
Uh-huh.
And then about 2 weeks later, Ben Restucia, the owner, called me and said, "I don't know who you know in Detroit, but if you want your job back, come on back." And I said, "Okay." So, yeah, I explained how unfairly I had been fired. And I went, "Oh." And that always taught me, go right to the person at the top, you know?
Oh, sure.
Just go right to that person.
That's the way.
Johnny Carson, be it Ben Restucia, whatever it might be.
Yep, that's the way to do it. One of the people that works here at the radio station had me write down some car names because I know you are a big car collector. You have a collection, from what I understand, in both California and in Rhode Island.
No, I don't have. No, I keep all my cars in California.
Oh, in California, okay.
I have a house in Rhode Island.
Okay. Do you happen to have an Isetta?
Isetta Fischini?
Yes.
No, I don't have.
You
one.
Don't have one of those.
No, I don't have one of those.
What about a Sterling?
Well, a Sterling is really just an English Honda. It's like basically a Honda Accord made in England. So,
well,
no, I don't have one of those.
No, okay. How about a Messerschmitt?
Well, the Messerschmitt's a little tiny two-seater car.
That's what he said, yeah.
Those were built by BMW.
Uh-huh.
After the war, BMW wasn't allowed to build anything substantial that could be used as weaponry. So they built the Messerschmitt. But no, I don't have a Messerschmitt.
Oh, okay.
Apparently someone gave me a list of all the cars I don't have.
Well, no, actually, those are the cars that this gentleman has had throughout his career. And the best one was when he told me about the Sterling. Apparently all they did was they took the electronics and the steering wheel and they moved it from the right side to the left side for the U.S., and they never worked after that.
Yeah, that's probably what they did. That sounds about right, yeah.
Now, out of all the cars you have, how many altogether? Do you keep track, or is it just more than so-and-so?
Well, there's about 203 on the road and about 168 motorcycles.
Wow. Which car is your favorite car, if you can even pick one?
I mean, they're all different. I like steam cars and, you know, all kinds. So there's all kinds of cars. I don't have a favorite, whatever I'm working on at that particular time.
Oh, okay.
I just enjoy fixing them and working on them, and I appreciate them, and that's kind of what makes it fun, you know.
Now, how does a steam car work? Is that a coal-fired or a wood-fired? Or?
No, it runs off gasoline.
Oh, off gas.
Gasoline. The same way you heat up a kettle of water, you make the steam, and then the steam powers the engine, you know.
Ah.
It's what they call external combustion. You sort of make your power elsewhere, and you store it, you know.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. I had never heard of a steam-powered car. I've heard of steam locomotives, but never a steam-powered car.
Oh, no. You never heard of a Stanley steamer? Those are made in Newton, Massachusetts.
Oh, really? I did hear of them before. I didn't know much about them.
Yeah. They're a Stanley steam car. Yeah, I've got a few of those. They're great fun, actually.
Oh, okay.
Very New England-y car.
Oh. Now, do you do your own driving, or do you have somebody drive for you?
No. No, I do my own driving.
Oh, okay.
And I make love to my wife myself.
Well, I hope so.
And I cook my own meals. Yeah, yes, I do fine.
Oh, okay. All right, okay. And how often per year are you out on the road doing shows?
Well, pre-pandemic, I did about 210 shows a year. Now I do about 150.
Wow, that's keeping busy.
Yeah, I'm dyslexic, so I don't really write anything down. So the best way to remember stuff is just to keep doing it. So, with comedy, you just want to keep trying out stuff, and every night you add something new or something different.
Now, for someone going to your show at the Lowell Memorial Auditorium tonight, what are they going to expect? Is it? I'm sure it's mostly G-rated.
Well, it's so funny. I mean, if you don't use obscenities, people think you're just making balloon animals or something. You know. No, I mean, I think you can do comedy. I have nothing against obscenity. I just don't find it particularly clever or challenging, you know. When the punchline to a joke is just F you, you know, it's not really funny to me. It just doesn't seem particularly clever.
Yeah.
But if you say G-rated, people think, oh, it's
Disney.
You know, yeah. I mean, there is things in between. I mean, anything you've seen on TV would be fair, I guess.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. Of course, that's changed a lot over the past 25 years.
Well, not on broadcast TV, but certainly with cable and everything.
Oh, sure. Well, even over broadcast TV, I mean, there are words now that make my ears stand up when I hear them, because you wouldn't have heard it 25 or 30 years ago.
Well, yeah. Oh, I remember when I was in college, Abbie Hoffman came to speak at the Boston Common. And he said the F word over the microphone. I don't think that had ever been done in a public place in Boston before. You know, and I'm not sure if he got arrested. I remember the cops all rushed the stage and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Now, how long does your show last usually?
About 90 minutes.
Okay, but there's no singing. You don't sing at all, right?
No.
Stick on. All right.
No. Thank you. There's no singing. Yeah.
Okay. Now, do you write all your own material, or do you have a few other writers that help out? Or,
well, when I did The Tonight Show, I certainly had writers.
Oh, yeah.
Doing a 40-minute monologue every day. But now it can mostly be just myself and personal stories. And
okay.
It's actually a lot of fun. You know, I really enjoy it.
Personally, I really enjoyed the character you played on Last Man Standing.
That was just me. I didn't really do anything. The fun thing worked with Tim. I've known Tim for a long time, and Tim would always throw things out that weren't in the script. You know? Like, you know, I remember one time he said to me, you know, because I play a mechanic in the show, he said, "Yes, you know, maybe you should have been a late night talk show host." You know? So the audience snickered, and I said, no. I said, sure. But it's still better being in some lame ass sitcom, you know. And that got a huge laugh because it kind of.
I remember that episode, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, it just made me laugh. And Tim thought it was really funny, and it got a big laugh. Yeah.
I actually talked to him one time. We're both ham radio operators, both he and I. And
is that right?
And yeah. I talked to him on 20 Meters one time. This is a long time ago. And you and I actually met one time too, although you probably won't remember it. It was 1998 when the Lost in Space movie came out, the first, the really bad Lost in Space movie. And that particular weekend, when they were having a convention and the premiere of the movie, you had Robbie the robot, the black robot, on The Tonight Show. And I was one of the wranglers because I was out in California for the premiere. And one of my friends owns Robbie the robot. And he said, we're going over to NBC. It's going to be on the Leno show tonight. And you want to come along as a wrangler? And I wasn't going to pass that up.
Well, that's funny.
So we actually did meet, although that was a long time ago. But
there you go.
Anyway, so are there any TV projects coming up for you in the near future?
Well, no, I just do the Jay Leno's Garage, and I got this game show, You Bet Your Life, which I enjoy doing. Which is kind of like jaywalking, you know, you just sort of ad-lib with people on the street.
Yeah.
Well, that's been great fun. So, I'm having a good time. You know, I enjoy this part of my life You know, everything at this point is gravy.
Yeah.
You know, we did the time show for 20 years. Now I can just go back to being a comedian again and say whatever you want. And I'm really having a good time.
Sure. Now, Jay Leno's Garage, what network is that on?
That's on the CNBC.
CNBC.
And then there's another version called Jay Leno's Garage, which is on YouTube, which is more about the technical aspects of the automobile.
Ah. And you get your hands dirty in that one, I assume.
Yeah, more so than the other.
Okay. Okay. Well, your show tonight starts, I believe it's 8 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken. It could be
8 o'clock, yeah. Come by, check it out.
Oh, I have my tickets. Matter of fact, I'm bringing the ex-mayor with me tonight. Her and I are both going together.
Oh, okay. Well, come backstage and say hello.
Well, we'll definitely do that.
I'll see you in a couple hours.
Yes, you certainly will.